match and romance,
a crown
in glory.
There I know that peace and love will always abound.
Forever let me be
your cross around. Lord, please deserve a match and romance.
Amen, amen, amen. Good morning to everyone. It is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. How's everybody doing? God is good, and we thank him for blessing us to be here to worship his great name. Weather feels nice out there, don't it? Nice and cool, nice and cool. A little windy, but God is good. We thank you for blessing us. If you're visiting with us this morning, you're a truly honored guest, and thank you so much for being a part of our fellowship here at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. Our elders will acknowledge all of our visitors at the end of our worship service. If you're watching by way of television, stop for a moment and just stay with us, if you will. I hope you'd allow the Lord to speak to you this morning. If you have a question, if you'd like someone to pray for you, you just want to talk to somebody, call the number on your screen, and we'd love to minister to you even this day. More than that, we'd love to see you. If you're able to get up, if you're able to move around, come and visit us here at the Fifth Ward. Don't we want to see them, church?
Amen.
Here at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. So you visit us at your earliest convenience. We've selected as a theme this year, making disciples and making a difference. Making disciples and making a difference. And we have been embarking the first few lessons of the year developing that theme. And I hope you've heard it. I hope you've heard it because it is the theme of the New Testament of God's Word for us to make disciples, our chore. How many of you have seen our billboard up on the corner? Some of you may have. That's traveling east. If you're traveling east, the billboard, the first exit you come right out of downtown, making disciples, making a difference. So Fifth Ward Church of Christ has an arrow pointing our way. Those of you that's traveling west, we tried to get both sides. We weren't able to get them because the other side was taken up, and so we just got one side. We're getting ready for our Making Disciples Conference that's coming up in a couple of weeks, and we'll talk about that a little bit more later on. The first lesson of this year was making disciples. We spent the first two Sundays of the year pointing out the primary purpose of the church. And even us as individuals, our mission as passed on by God to Jesus, from Jesus to his apostles in Matthew 28:19, from his apostles to us. And so it is God's mission. It was Jesus's mission, still is. It was the apostles' mission. Now it's our mission. And our mission is to make disciples and also to reconcile. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 said, God has given us the ministry. Our ministry is reconciliation. What is that, Brother Gary? It is trying to bring people back in a right relationship with God. And so as we're here on this earth, we spent a couple of Sundays talking about that in detail. Then we discussed how one specifically becomes a disciple. What is a disciple? It is a learner. It is a lifelong learner. So that means that we, as long as we're on this earth, if we are a disciple, we are a student of God. And we don't know everything. Although it might seem like we know a lot of scriptures, we still don't know everything. And we yet have things to learn, and so therefore we stay learning. That's for every opportunity we get, we're trying to learn. That's why we come to Bible class. That's why we come to worship service. That's why we don't argue about things that are spiritual, because we're trying to be more spiritual, aren't we, church? Yeah, and so we talked about how one becomes a disciple, because you surely can't make a disciple unless you are a disciple. And so we talked specifically about that. Then we talked about the benefits of discipleship. Because after all, who would want to become a disciple if there were no benefits? And you know, we say what you will or may, but you want to know what's in it for me. What is in it? Why am I doing this? And there are some marvelous great benefits. As I don't have time to review that today. Great benefits to being a disciple. I don't know why one would not want to become a disciple. And then we talked about how being a disciple can should, and will make a difference. Make a difference. Now, notice, make a difference not only in our own personal lives, in our own little worlds, but we'll make a difference in the entire world. And we talked about making a difference because God made us to be, he wants us to make disciples, not to have all this by ourselves. And he wants others to enjoy the wonderful benefits of being a disciple and to make this world a better place to live in. The last time I preached, the lesson I preached was on more practical discipleship living. And the last, I think I used four words from Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13, four words that were to exhort daily, harden, and deceitfulness. And I won't review that also. I just wanted to kind of bring you up to stuff. Today, part two of making a difference. Part two of making a difference. Everybody's all right this morning? God is good. Don't you love the word of God? Yeah, I love the word of God. That's so much to study. I must have gave Brother Patterson the wrong passage. Clayton did a wonderful job of reading Matthew chapter 26, and I do have a lesson on that text that he read, but I wanted Matthew chapter 25. So turn there if you will. And I keep saying this, but as I get older, you know, as you study more, boy, it's just not enough time to deliver all the message. And I want to exegete this passage, but I want to get to making a difference. And so I'm going to just stop when it's time and extend the invitation. And you pray for me, if you will. Chapter 25, verse 31. But when the Son of Man comes in his glory... The Bible, when it refers to Jesus, sometimes it calls him the Son of Man. Sometimes it calls him the Son of God. The Son of Man referring to his humanity. As Jesus, when he was on this earth, he said, I came not to be served, but to do what? Now, notice, and serve mankind. And so he's referred to often as the Son of Man. Boy, he certainly was a servant of mankind. He was a slave to man. But as Brother Philip Alexander was praying today, he came fully human, but he was also God. And so he's referred to as the Son of God. He was asked, one of the high priests asked him when he was about to be crucified, he's on trial, are you the Son of God? And he affirmed that he was the Son of Man. And Jesus was so humble. Oh, it ought to teach us something. We ought to stay humble. If Jesus could be humble, shouldn't we stay humble? Amen, somebody. Just some of us, sometimes we act like we know, we so smart and big-headed, but we don't know nothing. Let me get back to my lesson. But when the Son of Man comes in his glory, now, those of in this lesson, I know there might be some seekers and searchers. They're still trying to figure out where you want to go. All this ties in together as we still are talking about making disciples. But here specifically, he's talking to those who would listen. Now, notice the kingdom of God had not been established when this particular passage, when Jesus is talking. The kingdom is not here. It's near. It's coming. But still, Jesus is talking to his disciples. Who are the disciples? They are the learners. Who is Jesus talking to? Anybody that want to hear him. He often say, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. And so he's giving these profound lessons. And, you know, some people hear and some people don't, just the same way today. But the Bible says Jesus is coming again. It's in the scriptures. And sometimes we read, sometimes we see it and we hear it. But you realize Jesus is coming again? Yeah, this is not cartoons. This is not, you know, we everything is so animated and digitized, and we see all these movies that just make all this. That's not magic. But the Bible says Jesus is coming in his glory without the animation, without technology, without pushing a button. He's coming again in glory. I just love to. How many of you saw the movie Coming to America? This years ago. I know some of you youngsters, you probably don't know what that is. It's an old movie, Coming to America, with Eddie Murphy and Arsenio Hall on there, and Eddie Murphy played all these different characters. But you know what part I loved about that movie is who's the guy playing the king? He's the voice. That's him. Okay. What's his name? James Earl Jones. And he had this voice of the king, and he was the king. And when it first came on, they showed all of these. Wherever the king walked, these ladies were walking, and they were throwing rose petals because his feet couldn't hit the ground. And he had this coat on, had this fur on with this animal bite. I mean, and boy, he was king. And I say, woo, man, yeah, can you imagine this? And people say, what, that's the king, what? Yeah, woo. Yeah, yeah, just all this pomp and circumstance. The Bible says when Jesus comes, the Son of Man comes in his glory. I know that was a movie, but I'm wondering, what is Jesus' glory going to look like? Now, the Bible also says every eye shall see him. Every eye shall behold him. You think, what kind of glory you think Jesus is going to have? I know I'm talking to the disciples this morning. Yeah, see, because he left here. He died on the cross in shame. You know, he died on the cross, and he was on the cross, and people were sneering at him. And look at him now. If he the Son of God, come off that cross. And he could have come off the cross, but he didn't. But when he come back, he's coming in glory. It says that and all the angels we will be with. How many angels, Brother Gary? I don't know. This is, but the Bible, notice, you know how you read the scripture? I be studying these scriptures, and I come across, I didn't see this before. Question, how many angels do you think there are? We don't really know. But you know what the scriptures say? All of them. So see, notice this. Every eye shall see him. All the angels will be with Jesus when he come in his glory. You think we're not going to stop what we're doing? Whatever we're doing. Eating, sleeping, sneaking. That's why I don't have time to finish all of this. Because this gets so good to me sometimes, and it humbles me. And sometimes I'm going to just tell you the truth, it scares me. I have to check myself. You know, I don't want the Lord catching me arguing and fussing with somebody. That's just me. So I'm starting to cherish. You know what I'm starting to do? I'm starting to cherish every minute of every day. And maybe it's because I'm preaching so many funerals, attending so many funerals. Maybe it's because every time I come in the office and I good morning, Lula, good morning, Michelle, and I want to go walk to my office without them saying that somebody died today. Yeah. So, you know, when I see my grandbaby, hey, hug Big Daddy. I want to hug. Yeah, you know, me folks be fussing about the wrong food and the wrong, just fussing about everything. All headache, mad, fussing. Then he will sit on his glorious throne. Yeah, that's what made me think about the movie Coming to America. But I know it'll be nothing like that. Then the scriptures say all the nations will be gathered before him. Yeah, I've told you before, I love when the Bible uses, I always take note when I'm studying and I'm writing, I always underline. Every time the Bible says everything, it says, because you can't misunderstand all, can you? No. It says, all the nations will be before him. Everybody. We're talking about discipleship and making disciples. The disciples will be there, non-disciples, non-believers, everybody's going to be there. Every nation is going to be there. Yeah, it says that. It says they'll be gathered before him. And then notice the control. And he will separate them from one another. This is why we preach so strong about becoming a disciple and not procrastinating. And the day you hear his voice, to harden not your heart. I know sometimes you know, I'm intellectual. I like to read. I don't like to believe everything somebody tells me. But you know, you need. It's like you ever go buy a car and you're looking at 10, 15 different cars, and you sit in one, you test drive one, and something you can tell when the salesperson is getting impatient. And you say, well, I'm going to go home and think about it. You go home, think about it, but sooner or later, you got to make a decision, right? Yeah, and this was not that complicated. I sense that somebody in here, maybe even this morning, need to hurry up and make up your... You might need to... No, you not no might about it. Yeah. I mean, what else do you need? He says he's going to separate them one from one another. What do you mean from one another? Everybody going to be there. This is what you need to hear. As the shepherd separates the sheep from the goat. They really understood this in Jesus' time. Some of us may not have an idea. He separates the sheep from the goats. And you know anything about shepherds and farming, you know that path, they try to keep the goats and the sheep. But I don't know a lot about it, but I know Jesus is going to separate it. Are there going to be sheep and goats? No, please, come on. Now, that's not what he's talking about. Disciples from non-believers. The learners. That's what the only two classes. You either going to be a sheep or a goat. Yeah. That's what the scripture says. He says, as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goat, and he will put the sheep on his right. Sheep is what you want to be in this metaphor. Yeah, sheep is what you want to be in this metaphor. As a lamb, Jesus went before the slaughter. Scripture says, when he was being crucified, it says, and the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Yeah. All of this is a part of God's plan. I'm ambitious. My children are ambitious, and many of you are ambitious, and we have all of these plans for so much, don't we? I want to do this, and I want to build a house when I get this age, and I want to build this, and I'm thinking about my career, and I'm thinking about, when I get older, I want to have 3 kids, maybe 2 kids, and we have all these plans, but let me tell you, listen, that stuff does not matter if God is not in your plan. And so what are you saying, Brother Gary? I'm saying, listen, you need to, and Jesus said it when he was on this earth. He said, seek ye first. And he puts everything in perspective, because God will put all of the pieces, he will put them together in such a way that you can have a blessed life here and in heaven. And so he says, then the king will say to those of the come, you who are blessed. Who are blessed. And he's still talking to the disciples. And it will be such a blessing to be in that number on that day when we stand before Jesus at the judgment seat, when he sits on his throne of glory and he makes the separation. Now, scripture said Jesus is going to separate everybody. Are you over here? You over here. It doesn't say anything about nobody going to be talking. Excuse me, sir. I'm supposed to be over there. No, the talking time is over with. Notice the thinking time is over with. The meditating time, it's all that's over with. And he's gonna separate us. And notice, he's doing the separation. And he calls those blessed. Who are the blessed? Now, we want to get to us making a difference. This is our time while we're here. This is the time that young people, you need to listen closely, because this is the time that we control. Okay. That's why I knew I wouldn't have time to finish this. He says, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. You remember when Jesus left this earth, right before he was preparing, he says, I go to prepare a place for you. Notice this. Isn't it wonderful to know that Jesus has prepared a place for us? And then it goes on. But this text actually implies that God has had this plan for us all along. Even from the foundation of the world, God has had it planned for Gary, the disciples, the believers to have a place. The eye had not seen, ear had not heard. It's already ready for us. Just claim it. And so he says, from the foundation of the world. Then he says in verse 35, for I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. Disciples, while we are on this earth, we ought to be making a massive difference in this world. See, it's not a, you know, and I know even in the church, you know, you may not be necessarily be a quote unquote leader, quote unquote point person, quote unquote person that's out front. But now we're talking to all the disciples. This is for the disciples. Notice these are things that according to the scriptures that we will be judged by. These are the things that will influence the master whether or not he's going to put us with the goat or with the sheep. Now, you can get complicated and go to some other texts and start reading and say, we're not saved by works. I understand what you're saying, but I want you to read the whole Bible. You need to understand all of the scriptures, because what you will learn is that when you become a disciple, you will not stay sitting on your seat and be nothing in this world. Yeah, a true disciple is going to move. A true disciple is going to, it's not that you're watching to see what people do, because many disciples do things that nobody actually sees but God. He said, I was hungry and you fed. Well, that does not mean literal hunger, does it? Yes, it does. I believe it means both of them. I remember when Jesus, and he was being tempted of Satan, and Satan told Jesus to turn these stones to bread. And Jesus says, man shall not live by bread alone. That's the physical bread, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. I believe that it is both. It is spiritual food. That's what we're being fed now by the word of God. Don't the word of God make you full?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, boy, that's a good feeling when you read the Bible, and especially when you understand something perhaps you didn't understand before. And Jesus says, you were hungry. He said, I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. And there are a lot of people today that's hungry for the word of God.
Amen.
The simple truth of God's word. I hear people tell me all the time, you know, I didn't understand that. That's not as complicated. That's exactly right. When we study it, we talk about, well, the Bible hard to understand. Well, you got to read it first. Amen. That's where we start. But it's also talking about physical hunger. How do you know that? Some of you know Matthew chapter 10, verse 42. Jesus says, if you give one of these little ones a cold drink of water in a disciple's name, that your reward, you have a reward for that. Now this is why, see, when we're talking about making a difference, see, being a disciple, there are so many ways we can minister and make a difference in this world. So many ways. And what do you mean, a cold drink of water? Jesus says, I was hungry. And you feel me? You remember on several occasions, Jesus turned 5 loaves and 2 fish to fish and bread and fed 5,000 people. Actually, he fed well more than 5,000, says, besides the women and children. Jesus fed hungry folks, and sometimes I know we, it seemed like we, at this church, I'm like, we always eat. Don't we eat a lot, don't we? We have food all the time. Is something wrong with that? Do people eat every day? Notice this. This is one of the beauties of studying. See, we just say, well, how are we gonna make disciples? See, Jesus knows that. When you learn how to be a real disciple, it's going to create so many more opportunities for you to disciple. And one of the best places to talk to somebody about Jesus is when they being fed. Amen, somebody. Amen. And so don't fight. You know, yes, one of the things that we do, it's distinctive. And I'm not saying it's distinctive to all churches, but when we have a funeral here, Fifth Wall Church of Christ, one of our members passed away, and the funeral is held here. We have a ministry, fellowship ministry, that they fix food for the family. And they'll come over after this, going to the cemetery or after the funeral, and they will eat a meal. We don't charge our members. We don't charge the families. We don't charge them a dime, do we, church? Elders, most of you know that. And we don't charge them a dime. And we have sisters and brothers who come in early, and they will fry chicken, they will bake chicken. They have a full meal, drinks. They come in early, they fix it up. They stay to after people go to the cemetery and come. Sometimes folks go to the cemetery, stay 2-3 hours. And they stay, they come and serve them. And they sit down and they eat a meal. Some of them are members, some of them are not members. It is one of the greatest opportunities we have for fellowship, for ministering, for sharing the gospel. And it happens. Oh, and I know, you know, sometimes some people might take advantage of the situation, but we got to need to understand everything that we do is tied into making disciples. When it comes to church, when it comes to our mission, those that are, you forget who's back there cooking. Some of them you don't even know. Some of them have never, ever taught a Bible. I want all of us to ask is how can I be a better disciple to make a difference? And sometimes we make it too hard. No, no, that Jesus, he says, come you blessed. He said, I was hungry and you fed me. So anytime you fix a meal, raise your hand if you can cook in here. Don't be shy. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. That go to the disciples right there. Now, I would ask you to raise your hand if you can't cook. But you don't have to be able to cook anything to make it to heaven. See, how many of you can serve? Because when you're feeding folk, it doesn't necessarily mean you're cooking it, but you're serving. So what do you say? You say, so the fact that I'm giving some food to somebody, that catches God's eye? Oh. Yes, 1,000 times, yes. 1,000 times, yes. And Jesus used the dinner table often as he ate with Zacchaeus, as he ate with sinners and publicans to make a difference in this world. We're having six home Bible disciples fellowships in homes around the city. Praise the Lord. Thank you for volunteering your homes. Thank you for that. Yeah. Thank you for volunteering your homes. Yeah. It's your home. Your name is on the mortgage, but whose house is it? Thank you. Thank you for saying that. Yeah. Yeah. We know some others wanted to do that. And I'm not saying this to pat you on the back. We're talking about discipleship and making a difference. This today is just Sunday. Today is the day we come to glorify God, to praise God, to thank God. And we're having these fellowships, and you know we're going to have some food. Yeah, we're going to have some food. And we want the whole church, we want you to find a house, and we want you to go fellowship. Notice this. Bring your neighbor. They're going to ask you, what are we going over here to do? Well, we're going to be eating. We might be singing. We might hear an inspirational word from the Word of God. Well, come on, go with me. Now, you can get them to come near that. You can't get them to come here on Sunday, but you can get them to come over there, can't you? Many of us can. And so we're having six and we want everybody to get connected. Well, but I don't know all these people. That's why we're doing this. Big church, we want to keep it, so find a home and share. I don't know how we're doing the food. I don't know if they want you to bring food. I think the hosts, we're going to provide something for them to have something there so you eat. Now, the format is from 6:30 to 7:30 is fellowship and eating, 6:30 to 7:30. We'll have one of the teachers will do a lesson about 40, 45 minutes at most, but 8:29, we want to say the closing prayer, amen. Somebody in that house? Now, if you want to stay fellowship after that, that's on your time, but we want to make sure we respect people's houses, okay? All right. Great opportunity for fellowship making disciples. Great opportunity to introduce someone. I was hungry and I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. Yeah. Yeah. You remember when Jesus was at the well with the woman? And he went to get a drink, and they had this long conversation. This Samaritan woman had this long conversation, and she was interested. She was talking about giving physical water, which that Jesus came there to get. Jesus said, I got some more water for you. Yeah. And that's why I used Matthew 4 a few minutes ago, a cold drink of water. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. We have people come by our building, you know, especially in the summertime. Ooh, y'all have some water in here? We have a water fountain to go drink of water. Just opportunities to minister. Notice both of these tasks. Eating and drinking is something that happens every day. Now, we're talking about making disciples and making a difference. So what are you saying? I'm saying look for opportunities. When people all have a basic need that we can help fill, that we can help fill to create an opportunity for discipleship. I was in San Francisco this week. My mother-in-law's brother passed away a couple of weeks ago, and Karen and I had to go and help clean out his place and take care. And so we were there. And one of the neighbors across brought over some Cokes and water. Cokes and water. And we had a good conversation. Found out that he's fixing to come to Houston. His name is Jonathan. And he's moving to Sugar Land. And so you know... So what do you think I told him? Listen, he's coming to Houston. We gave him. I need a place. He said I'm working in Sugarland, but I need a place. I need somebody to help me find a place. And guess what I did? I gave him a couple of y'all's names. I did. I said, I know just the person you need to talk to. So because I'm trying to keep him connected with members of the body. He's spiritual because he actually prayed for us. And I said, oh, yeah. But I'm trying to get him connected. And I'm speaking this because, I'm studying, and I already kind of developed most of my lesson. But I understand, Jesus says, he says, come ye who are blessed. He said, I was hungry and you... See, we make this thing too complicated. The basic needs that we had, he says, I was hungry and you fed. I was thirsty and you gave me. Listen to what else he said. He says, I was a stranger and you invited me. Now, some of us say, well, I'm not inviting nobody. See, you don't have to invite somebody in the mood. Some of us, we just need to learn how to open our mouths when we're around people that we don't know. You go to work and you've been working. You go to work. Some of us go to the same office. Some of us ride the same elevator. We sit in the same place for lunch all the time. We see people and we never. And you notice this. When the scripture uses the term stranger, they are stranger because you don't. A lot of times we know our environment. We know what's going on. We know who the strangers are. So we ought not to be as apprehensive not to say something to somebody we don't know. New person comes on our job. Come on a job. You eating in the cafeteria or wherever it is you eat. They coming on. They don't know nothing. They just coming on the job. They walking around with a tray in their hand, looking for a place to sit. And you know the way. You know you see them looking. You just looking. That's why they don't know where she going. I don't know. What a great opportunity! Hey, come on, sit right here. Hey, what's your name? Where you from? How many children? I understand it a whole lot better now. I miss some opportunity. And sometimes we just be so into ourselves, just in our own world. But yeah, I just be barely making it. I just go to work. And I don't want to see nobody. I without talking to nobody. I just. We punch the elevator. Oh, Lord, I hope ain't nobody on this. Don't want nobody to walk up, say nothing. You realize there are so many lonely, confused, hungry, so many people who need somebody to just say, how you doing? Who's going to do it? Who's going to do it? Let's make he says, I was a stranger. I said, I'm going to stop it on time. I got three minutes. He said, I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I'd be willing to say that if everyone, I don't care if you stay living in a house and an apartment, that if we went in our closet right now and opened our closet up, most of us as females, maybe I should start with the males. There are probably so many things in, you know, brother Norville in here. Brother Norville's here. Brother Jesse's in here. Jesse Stewart. Brother Jesse Stewart's in here. Brother Norville's here. Now, I know, and we, you know, we do a wonderful job when we have our day. This year, our day of work, good works is going to be called our day of making a difference. A day of making a difference. When we ask for clothes, sometimes we have to say, don't bring any more clothes, because you bring so many. That's why I love it. But I want you to understand what's happening, though, is you are literally, when we put that tent outside, when I put tent outside, folk, these folk need some clothes. And some of us, we take for granted. Some of us this morning, we got up and don't start talking about shoes. You couldn't decide what pair of shoes you're going to put on. And there are individuals who would walk to your closet and take any one pair. Any one of the pairs. And when we do our clothing drives, where your brother Murphy, brother Roger Mayo, they take the youth out, and they do blankets and you, these are, and some people say, well, I've even heard, I've talked to a brother. He says, you know, some of these ministries we do are, he used a name. He called them something. I can't remember the name he used. But I wasn't offended, but it took me back because he was making light. As these are incidental ministries, you know, these things, we need to do big. He was alluding to the fact that, yeah, we need to build hospitals. And yes, maybe we do. But we should never, ever, ever diminish from serving the basic needs of people, because that's what they need the most.
That's right.
And so let's remember that as we are being involved in ministry. He says, I was sick and you visited me. I'm coming down because I just need to stop. But I'm telling you, if that was one gift that I could ask the Lord for, it would be the gift of healing. A lot of members in here right now sick, and we thank God that you're here. But it's, you know, on my personal calendar this year, I said I'm going to visit more of our members that's sick. And I've had some brothers have been going with me. Our elders are visiting more because it is such a needed ministry. You get sick, and see, people, you think people done forgot about you. And some of our members that's been here, sitting here, amening and shaking my hands, and now you go there and they can't open their mouth. And I just don't have the stomach for it. I understand. But I thank God that those that had a stomach for it. I thank God for, we have one day on our calendar in April that we're calling a day of ministering to our caregivers and those that are sick, and we want everybody to be involved in it. And all I'm saying is we can make a huge difference as the disciples of Christ if we would exemplify the spirit of Christ as he ministered to people. We're going to make more disciples simply by doing what Jesus. And he said, if you do it to the least of one of these, you've done it unto me. We can make a big difference. You're here today, you're not a child of God. You need to be. So many reasons why you need to be. This world needs more true disciples who are doing the Lord's work, who are making disciples, making a difference in this world. And we can make this world a much better place. You come by faith, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If you believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Son of God, and you are willing to repent of all of your past sins, God wipes all your sins from your past when you bury it in the watery grave of baptism. You confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. God writes our name on the Lamb's Book of Life. And then when we stand before God, he separates. When Jesus makes that separation, we will be on the sheep side and not the goat side. Praise the Lord. You here today, you want to be a disciple? You can be one today. He adds you to his body, to the kingdom of God, of which we discussed, to the church of God, to the church of Christ, that you can read about in the Bible, that he wants everybody in the world to be a part of his one body. And you live faithful unto death, and he'll give us a crown of life. Won't you come as we stand and sing the song of invitation?
When the Savior calls, I will answer.
When he calls
for me,
I will hear
him. When the Savior calls,
I will
answer. I'll be somewhere listening for my name.
Oh, I'll be somewhere.
Listening.
Yes, I'll be somewhere.